Shri Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Prataraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Viraj Maharaj ki, Jayanta Gopremanande ki. Okay, so tonight we'll continue reading from chapter 19 of Canto 8. Tonight we'll go from verses 13 to 28. We'll hear about the exchange between Bali Maharaj and Vamana Dev. What is that? There? No, it's not Jimuna. Yeah, I mean, it's a gopi. It's supposed to be Radharani, but no. Prabhupada, when he was given that picture by Shyamananda Prabhu, Shyamananda Prabhu did all these pictures of Prabhupada, and he did that one too. And when he gave that to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, that is the first thing I want to see when I go to, when I wake up, and the last thing I want to see when I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So Prabhupada, he liked that picture. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. Jagan Prabhu, that's written.
Atheists generally follow the Buddha philosophical conclusion that at death everything is finished. Hiranyakashipu, being an atheist, thought this way. Because Lord Vishnu was not visible to him, he thought that the Lord was dead.
Oh, sorry. I think I'm reading text 12.
Then you're probably reading the wrong verse.
Yeah, 13. Sorry. So, generally speaking, even though the conditioned soul is angry, his anger is not perpetual but temporary. It is due to the influence of ignorance. Hiranyakashipu, however, maintained his enmity and his anger against Lord Vishnu until the point of death. He never forgot his vengeful attitude toward Vishnu for having killed his brother Hiranyaksha. Others in the bodily concept of life are angry at their enemies but not at Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu, however, was everlastingly angry. He was angry not only because of false prestige but also because of continuous enmity towards Vishnu.
So what are the points?
Usually people don't get angry with Lord Vishnu, they love him, they respect him. But Hiranyakashipu was angry with Lord Vishnu.
Anything else?
We can also see that all the modes act on a particular living entity in the same day. Like, it's not ignorance throughout. So, because Prabhupada mentions it is just temporary. So, yeah, that's one point which comes in. But Hiranyakashipu was maintaining the whole action or the ignorance throughout this.
It could be because of Lord's doing as well, because he wanted to have chivalry. And that's why the previous one, the Hiranyakashipu and Ravana Kumbhakarna and Mr. Shukarna, that's all. Maybe Lord, it was Lord's creation of anger for Hiranyakashipu.
Any other points?
This gives the quality of the demons, how they are basically reacting. When the Hiranyakashipu being coming from Jain Vijays, but the quality he's showing here of false ego and great influence of ignorance, is what the demons have in order to have that vengeance or anger against Vishnu or Krishna.
It also shows that we get angry because of our ignorance, because in body we can take our life, but if we get the real knowledge, when we realize our sorrow that we are the servant of Krishna, we are going to have nothing to go, it's temporary. We are going to have nothing to do with it, we'll get finished anyway. So then we won't get anything from it.
Anything else?
People don't understand that Vishnu or Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have some faith and or something, and they generally don't say anything, even when they are in bodily concept of life. But here we can see that Hiranyakashipu in his bodily concept of life is completely and be throughout Lord Vishnu. Because here Prabhupada says that no one will be angry on Lord Vishnu. I mean, probably he is mentioning about majority of the people who are theists.
Actually, here it says that even though, like the normal people, they are not envious of Lord Vishnu, but they are envious of each other, or their enmity. But then Prabhupada also says somewhere that the enmity or enviousness that we have for others is actually for Krishna,
but
ultimately
just
we are envious of him, that's why we have
to be
for others.
Yep. Any other points? Okay. So, there are so many negative qualities which a living entity identifies with when they come to the material world. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the bridge between matter and spirit? It is ahankar, or false ego. What makes us identify with the material world? Because in the spiritual world, no one is materially angry. Actually, there's not really anger in the spiritual world. There's a little bit of anger, but it's not like it is in the material world. In the spiritual world, there's a little bit of anger there, but that's just for Krishna's pastimes, but not like a real heavy anger like you get in the material world. But in the material world, when people come here, we become covered by the false ego, and the false ego allows us or enables us to identify with the material energy. And because we identify with the material energy, then we identify with all these negative qualities. And that's why people become angry, amongst other negative qualities. So anger, it is a misidentification. And you see people, they become so angry in this material world. We've all experienced ourselves and others becoming so angry. And what is the source of that anger? Ultimately, it is the false ego. Because we're misidentifying. And therefore, all these negative qualities, there's so many negative qualities. Envy, pride, illusion, madness, greed, lust, and anger. So all of these different qualities, they're being bred from the false ego. It's misidentification. So as we advance in Krishna consciousness, we have to detach ourselves from those qualities, or those negative emotions. When we see ourselves becoming envious, when we see ourselves becoming lusty, when we see ourselves becoming angry or proud or greedy or mad or illusion, then we should detach ourselves from those emotions. We should understand that is false ego. It is not actually us. And because it is not us, then we should not identify with it. So as we advance more in Krishna consciousness, we learn to detach ourselves from those things. We see those things are not us. And then we won't get angry unnecessarily. You know, when you're on a very advanced platform, you won't get unnecessarily angry. And even when you're advancing in Krishna consciousness, generally you'll get control of these urges. Vacha vega, manasa krodha vega, jiva vega, udara pasta vega. So manasa, krodha, krodha means anger. Right? It's an urge. It's there, but it needs to be controlled. Just like Prabhupada would control his anger. Sometimes Prabhupada became very angry. Many times Prabhupada became angry, but it was controlled anger. In other words, he just used that in Krishna's service. It was not stimulated, or was not born from false ego. Prabhupada would become angry, but as soon as the chastisement was finished, then Prabhupada was back to his normal, peaceful disposition. So we have to learn to detach ourselves from these lower qualities. So as we advance in Krishna consciousness, we have to see or learn to identify when the modes of nature are acting upon us. We say, okay, now the mode of goodness is acting upon me, or the mode of passion is acting upon me, or the mode of ignorance is acting upon me. And then we detach ourselves from those effects. We know that this is what is happening, but we don't identify with it. So that requires advancement in Krishna consciousness. So, Hiranyakashipu, his anger was not ordinary. Because it was an arrangement of Yogamaya, and it was an arrangement of the pastime potency of the Lord. So he became angry, but that anger led to liberation. He was angry towards the Lord, but that anger allowed him to fix his mind always on Krishna, on Vishnu. And then finally, because he was always meditating on Krishna and Vishnu, then he became liberated. Because he was thinking of Krishna completely. So, in the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj is already, Narada has already explained these things. He says that Shishupal by envy, and then he says the gopis by apparent lust, the Vrishnis by the family relationship, Upandavas by the friendship. So he says everyone got the same destination, not exactly the same, but everyone was liberated because they were thinking of Krishna. So even if one is angry, if one is meditating on Krishna, then he gets benefited. So Hiranyakashipu, he was angry, but because he was always thinking of Krishna, then ultimately he became liberated from the material energy. That is the potency of Krishna consciousness. Any points?
Kansa was similar. Kansa.
Yeah. Out of fear, Kamsa became perfect. So all these negative qualities are there. Directed towards Krishna, they purify the consciousness. Any other points?
But as devotees, we have to, as you rightly mentioned before, we have to think of Krishna in an anukul way, not basically the opposite way, isn't it? I mean, even though he's not showing practical anger, we can't be doing the same thing, I suppose.
Yeah, of course. Oh. Yeah, I mean, unless you're very advanced, then you can't become angry at Krishna.
Devotees do actually, you know, fall in a position where they feel a bit angry about the whole situation. What do we do in that?
Can you give me any examples?
I mean, you know, when you're in an adverse situation, let's say, for example, in your life where things are going wrong, and instead of seeing it beyond that, what Krishna's plan is, so sometimes at the spur of the moment, you basically do get angry at Krishna.
Yeah, that means you're a neophyte devotee, that's all.
Increase, the problem will increase, we get angry. It won't decrease.
Yeah. So, what's the use of getting angry at Krishna? It's just a neophyte position. When you become more advanced, then even when there's negative things, Bhagavatam teaches we see the negative things as Krishna's mercy. So it means that if we're angry towards Krishna, it just means we're a neophyte devotee, that's all.
This is recently when one of a very senior devotee came to me and he said, I'm angry with Krishna. I didn't know what to say. I said, well, you have a right to be angry towards Krishna because being a senior devotee. So I...
Yeah, but then you have to give the definition of senior. What does senior mean? Maybe just because he's been around a long time doesn't mean he's advanced. Mm. So... if someone says they're angry at Krishna, it doesn't mean they're advanced. Sometimes devotees do this. They say, oh, he's a senior devotee just because he's been around a long time. But you've been around a long time doesn't mean you're an advanced devotee. Advanced and senior are two different things. So if someone says, I'm angry, then, I'm angry at Krishna. And you have to be very careful making those kind of statements. Maybe joke around a little bit, but if you're actually angry at Krishna, then maybe you're not very advanced. Any other point?
If really when I have got adverse situation, then I don't get angry at Krishna. I think it is not you, my bad karma in my so many bad things. And that gives me peace. When love is making me better.
Yeah, that's good.
But one thing is that I remember Krishna because I love him, and also that I am scared of him, Raj. What should I do?
What was the last part?
I get scared of going to Yamraj.
Scared of going to Yamraj? Yeah. So what's the point?
So I, you know how you said Shishupal is to remember all the time? Okay, because of envy. But I love him, but I am afraid of Yamraj as well. That's why I remember him.
Yeah, that, that's not advanced devotional service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I should not be scared.
Well, there's nothing to be scared of, because the Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada says devotees don't go to Yamaraj. So. You don't have to worry about Yamaraj, because devotees don't go to Yamaraj.
Yeah.
What's Yamaraj going to do with you?
Well, I don't know what I have been in my last 20
You'll probably scare him. So I don't think you have to be worried about Yamaraj. She's probably worried about you. She's gonna turn up at Yamaloka, and I'm gonna be judging her, and she's gonna ask. So I just want to know one thing. How do the asuras get vitamin D in like that? Yamaraj is getting old. So I think he's the one who's more scared. So.
That's good.
Yeah. So don't worry. You've already scared Yamaraj off. So he's not going to come to you.
Okay. So I should remove that thing?
Yeah, don't worry about that. Okay. Devotees don't have to worry about Yamaraj. Okay. There's no, for devotees, we don't go to Yamaraj because we're devotees. Why would we go to Yamaraj?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so you don't have to be worried about that. any other point?
You say when we are wearing Tulsi Beach, Yamaraj doesn't come?
Protects you from the Lord of Death.
And she's worshipping Tulsi Maharani like they're flourishing in their house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tulsi Loka.
Hope she accepts me.
I hope so too. Any other points? Okay. Your father Virochana, the son of Maharaj Prahlad, was very affectionate toward Brahmanas. Although he knew very well that it was the demigods who had come to him in the dress of a Brahmana, in the dress of Brahmanas, at their request he delivered to them the duration of his life.
Sugadev Prabhu. Maharaj Purochana, Bali's father, was so pleased with the Brahmanas, Brahmana community, that even though he knew that those approaching him for a charity were demigods in the dress of Brahmana, he nonetheless agreed to give it.
Mm. So what are the points here?
Respect Brahmanas at any circumstance, because they are without them nothing will, the society will not be stable. Purpose of the king is to protect Brahmanas and give charity, which we discussed yesterday as well.
How can one give the duration of life to somebody?
Well, what's the point?
He said that he delivered to them the duration of his life.
Yeah, it means that for his whole life he was serving Brahmanas. So.
Ah,
anything else?
So here it is mentioned that the kings, they know and that whosoever is coming to them for charity is actually not just simple Brahmanas, but demigods, or like here in this case, not common days. So what they're in a way saying is that when you, even if you know somebody is coming to cheat you, you still voluntarily agree to become cheated.
Well, it's a bit different in this situation because it's the demigods taking the form or the dress of the Brahmana. So they're demigods. So you're giving charity to demigods, that's a good thing because they're pious. But if someone comes to you and they're trying to trick you and you know they're trying to trick you, then you should not allow yourself to be cheated. like that. Because if it's an impious person, like that. So there's a difference there. It's not like ordinary. Ordinarily, if someone comes to beg charity, but then they're deceptive or impious, then we don't give to them. You know, we don't say, oh, well, they're asking, so I give. No, you don't give. Just like, you know, you walk along the streets in Melbourne and some person comes to you and says, oh, give me money for food. But you know if you give him the money, he's going to go and buy alcohol or cigarettes or something. So you don't give the money. Okay. So, in this case, it's a little bit different because, you know, okay, he knew it was the demigods, but the demigods are pious people. So.
Why did he want to be
so? I'm not sure. I don't know what the pastime is. There must be a pastime. Doesn't explain. It speaks about Virochana, but Virochana is not really spoken about in the Bhagavatam.
Oh,
right. There must be other Puranas where he is discussed. So.
But if somebody comes to you, and even if you know, you can give, but thinking that the Lord said you
have it. No, that's foolish, because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says there's charity in the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Mode of ignorance means you give to the wrong person at the wrong time.
Okay.
So that's... Krishna doesn't say just give to anyone. Like I said, you're walking on the streets in Melbourne. The people, they come up and they say, give me some money for food. But you know he's not going to buy food. I've seen it. I've seen people come and say, give me money for food. Someone gives them money. I've seen them walk straight into the bottle shop and buy the alcohol or something. So why do that? Any other point?
One question, Govardhan. When you say that Virochana or Bali or people... The kings know who is coming, you know, like demigods are coming in the form of brahmanas. Does that mean that they have some siddhis or do they have practice something like that?
What is it?
When they realize that demigods are coming in the form of brahmanas and letters of brahmanas, etc.
Yeah.
Does it mean that they have some siddhis or something to visualize who is exactly coming?
Well, you're talking about Virochana, you're talking about Prahlad Maharaj, you're talking about very powerful living entities. So. It doesn't describe how they know.
Generally, the quality of a kshatriya is something like that. Is there any quality like they practice something so that
anyone who's a little bit intelligent can see?
Okay.
Yeah, but we're talking about very powerful people, so we're not sure.
In those days, the kings used to represent anti-gods.
Yeah, sure.
They used to be very advanced.
Yeah, and this is not even. Ordinary kings, these are the rulers of the entire universe, and much more powerful. So, we're hearing about Vedic culture or Vedic civilization. Vedic civilization means if someone comes to your home and asks for something, then you should give charity. So that is the duty, dana is the duty of the grihastha. The grihastha becomes purified when he gives charity. If the grihastha does not give charity, he doesn't become purified. See, the grihastha must give charity to qualified persons. So we see in the Vedic time, in the Vedic civilization, that the grihastha's duty, and he is a kshatriya here, so he will look after the brahmanas. So this is the way that we should also be. When someone comes to our home, we should offer them the best of everything we have. Prabhupada says minimum you give them is water and somewhere to sit and some sweet words. But you should offer anything to the person, whatever they desire. That's actually the Vedic culture. So you saw in the Vedic times, if someone asked for something, then they were given that thing. Just like that Brahmana came and he asked Hadai Pandit, Lord Nityananda Prabhu's father, he said, please give me your son. So he gave the son. That was the way it was previously. Just like Prabhupada was on the train in India, he was traveling, and some people, they were trying to get onto the into the room in the apartment where Prabhupada was to have darshan of Prabhupada. So, you know, the devotees were trying to keep them out, but somehow, you know, they saw Prabhupada through the door and then Prabhupada said, okay, come in. So they came in, and I think it was one man and two sons. So they came. And the man sat, Prabhupada was on one side and the man was on the other side, and he said, Swamiji, give your blessings to my sons. And Prabhupada said, give me one of your sons. That is my blessing. Give me one of your sons. The other one you can keep, but the other one you give me. And the man was like, oh, and stood up and Swamiji and left. There's materialistic consciousness. Prabhupada said, you give, I will train as brahmachari. He will become a brahmachari, we'll train him. In the goal of life, he will liberate your whole family. So in the Vedic time, you had to give. That's the system. So the basic principle is that a grihastha should get done. When someone comes to your home, you should give. You give dana, you give charity, you give. Just like Atul Krishna Prabhu, he was just here for a few days. So he's my best friend, very close friend. So, you know, whenever I go to his house in Mayapur, whenever I go there, he says, come for lunch, so we go for lunch. And then whenever I'm leaving, he always gives gamsha, his wife always gives gamsha or dhoti or... Sure. Principle is there. Someone comes, that's culture. Culture means guest comes, you must give. That's the culture. Hmm. So according to your position, then you will give something. So, any points? Okay. You also have observed the principles followed by great personalities who are householder brahmanas, by your forefathers and by great heroes who are extremely famous for their exalted activities. O King of the Daityas, from your majesty, who come from such a noble family and who are able to give charity munificently, I ask you only 3 paces of land to the measurement of my steps. In the mind, he wants to read.
Lord Brahmadeva wanted 3 paces of land according to the measurement of his steps. He did not want more than necessary. But although he pretended to be an ordinary human child, he actually wanted the land comprising the upper, middle and the lower planetary systems. This was just to show the prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm. So as Prabhupada is pointing out here in the purport, that this pastime shows Lord Vamana's potency. The Lord is unlimitedly powerful. No one else can do this. Who else can take the whole universe in 3 steps? Actually, it took the whole universe in 2 steps. Who else can do like that? It could take the whole universe in 1 step. He wasn't taking anything because everything already is created by him. So, but it shows his unlimited power. The Lord has unlimited potency. So 1 step he takes the lower planetary systems, and then the 2nd step he takes the middle and upper planetary systems. Like that. And then we hear that his toe pierces through the covering of the universe and the causal ocean. And water comes and that's the Ganga. Flowing like that. So the point is that he is unlimitedly powerful. This is the definition of God. God, by definition, God is unlimited. So, you know, in India they have all this foolishness that they say, oh, this one is God and that one is God. But, you know, Prabhupada said, I kick on your face. What will you do? Someone said to Prabhupada, it was in Melbourne at the town hall. Prabhupada was giving a lecture. Someone challenged Prabhupada, said, I am God. And Prabhupada said, I kick on your face, what will you do? I kick on your face, what will you do? So what sort of God is that? God means unlimitedly powerful. So, any points?
So with 1 step, Lord Vamadeva went right through, and 1 step he went to the room.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, lower planets, 1 step, and upper planets with the... So 2 steps, everything was finished.
What about the middle?
Hmm?
Middle.
Yeah, middle was middle and upper. First the lower and then the middle and upper. That's... Okay. O King, controller of the entire universe, although you are very munificent and are able to give me as much land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. If a learned Brahmana takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activities. So, Uddhava Pandaprabhu?
A Brahmana or sannyasi is qualified to ask charity from others, but if he takes more than necessary, he is punishable. no one can use more of Supreme Lord's property than necessary. Lord Vamanadeva indirectly indicated to Sri Bali Maharaj that he was occupying more land than he needed. In the material world, all distresses are due to extravagance. One accumulates money extravagantly and also spends it extravagantly. Such activities are sinful. All property belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all living beings who are sons of the Supreme Lord have the right to use the Supreme Father's property. But one cannot take more than necessary. This principle should especially be followed by the Brahmanas and Sannyasis who live at the cost of others. Thus, Vamanadeva was an ideal beggar, for he asked only 3 paces of land. Of course, there is a difference between his footsteps and those of an ordinary human being. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable progress, can occupy the entire universe, including the upper, lower and middle planetary systems, by the unlimited measurement of his footsteps.
Any points?
But I can't understand why he is Lord. He doesn't anything. So he was not asking because of his needs. He was asking for demigods. And the demigods just wanted the heaven. So why he wanted Christians?
Because he was showing how powerful he is. He wanted to take everything. So.
Yeah, but the word is used as need.
Yeah, he doesn't need anything. The Lord doesn't need anything. He was just showing how powerful he was. And he's reciprocating with these devotees, that's the point.
He could have just asked for the one step and he could have just taken the word of the heaven.
So next time you meet him, maybe you can ask him why.
I think, actually it mentions up here that Bali Maharaj is actually occupying more than what he actually needed anyway. So therefore Krishna took it away from him, from what he was supposedly having. That answers Madhuri's question.
And one more thing, Prabhupada, in the previous chapters, Bali Maharaj is controlling the whole universe. Meaning from the lower through the upper. Therefore, to show that he is nothing and to make him surrendered as well. So, just God wanted to show the powerless. And by which he can give part of it to them as well, that land.
Yeah. That's good. So, Prabhupada is stressing in the purport that we should not take more than necessary. This is the Ishabhasya principle, which is given in the Ishopanishad. Everyone just should accept their quota. Prabhupada says we are all the sons of God, the daughters of God, so it means everything belongs to him. So it's natural the children will use the parents' property. But the children should not take too much. They should not take more than what belongs to them. And Prabhupada says that distress is caused by extravagance. And you see, when you become extravagant in your living, then you simply have distress. And it's like if you want to go to India or you want to go to another country overseas. And if you own a lot, then you're in anxiety when you leave. Is it going to be there when I get back? You know, is my car still going to be there? Is my house still going to be there? There's so many. The more you have, the more anxiety you have. So devotees are meant to live simply. Do not be extravagant. Because as Prabhupada is saying, extravagance simply causes distress. And you see the people who have a lot, then they're also in anxiety about losing it. So where's the peace? Just like I used to stay in Vrindavan at one ashram. And next door, the big house. It was like a whole ashram, it was so big, one house. And he was like the second wealthiest man in Vrindavan. He owned his father, who's a son, but the father owned practically half of Vrindavan. He was like a landlord. And so he's a very wealthy man. But he had to have like 12 armed guards with machine guns outside of his door all the time. And the Gundas came and tried to kill him. you know, there's a big gunfight between his men and the Dugundas. And he couldn't sleep properly at night. He had to take, he had ulcers in the stomach, and he had to take sleeping pills and like that. So there was no peace, even though he had so much, because it was extravagant, much more than he needed. There was no peace. He didn't know if he was going to live every time he walked out the house, if people were going to try to shoot him or stuff. So where is the peace? So Prabhupada is saying here that just live simply. No? Only take what is necessary for your devotional service to continue. Any points? Okay. Bali Maharaj said, O son of a brahmana, your instructions are as good as those of learned and elderly persons. Nonetheless, you are a boy, and your intelligence is insufficient. Thus, you are not very prudent in regard to your self-interest.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being full in himself, actually has nothing to want for his self-interest. Lord Vamanadeva, therefore, had not gone to Bali Maharaj for his own self-interest. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Bhoktaram Yajyata Pasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. The Lord is the proprietor of all the planets, in both the material and spiritual worlds. Why should he be in want of land? Bali Maharaj rightly said the Lord Vamanadeva was not at all prudent in regard to his own personal interest. Lord Vamanadeva had approached Bali not for his personal welfare, but for the welfare of his devotees. Devotees sacrifice all personal interests to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And similarly, the Supreme Lord, although having no personal interest, can do anything for the interest of his devotees. One who is full in himself has no personal interest.
Is that the answer to your question?
Correct.
See? Any point?
The Lord can do anything for his devotees.
Yeah. Any other points?
Actually, I was looking at Bali Maharaj's interest too as well, Prabhu. Could we say that in this instance? Because, I mean, he's a devotee too as well. And the fact that, I mean, obviously, somehow to protect in the past times that are yet to come in the future, that I don't know, I mean, I thought because him being a devotee is protecting him too as well, or maybe taking his false ego or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's being protected.
Yeah.
Like that. Because the Lord wants to give him mercy, that's the main part of this pastime.
Yeah.
Bali Maharaj, he knows he's a pure devotee, so he wants to glorify the devotee, he wants to give him the real thing. He doesn't want to give him the universe. He wants to take the universe away and give himself to Bali Maharaj's devotees. So Prabhupada says that one who is full in himself has no personal interest. So Vamanadeva or Krishna is full. Atmarama means self-satisfied. So, the Lord has no personal interest. Whenever Krishna deals with us, it is just for our good. If he's taking things away or giving things to us, it is for our good. So it is not that he has a personal interest involved. In this world, so many times when you're dealing with someone, there is a personal interest involved. The person wants to do something for you because he wants something back. And that's the nature of the material world. I'll do something for you, but there must be return. And even in our consciousness, we often think like that. Even amongst devotees. I'll do something for you, but that's what we say. And even with the deities, we do like that. Worship the deities, but I want this and this and this. So this is material consciousness. So devotees should not be in material consciousness, because Krishna is not in material consciousness. Krishna is simply reciprocating, because he has no self-interest. So a devotee should also become complete in himself, so that there's no self-interest. Then the devotee can be effective in our loving dealings or our loving exchanges between each other, can be effective. When we're just serving each other because we want to serve, not because we want something back. We reciprocate with each other because we just want to give. Right? That's the way the devotees advance, and that's when his company is very relishable. And devotees become very satisfied. When all the devotees are in that mood, I'm simply your servant. Dasosmi. What can I do for you? So, why does Krishna perform this pastime with Bali Maharaj? Because he wants to reciprocate with the devotee. He wants to increase Bali Maharaj's pleasure. A devotee feels happy when Krishna takes everything away, if he's advanced. If Krishna takes everything away, then Prabhupada says that is special mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Bhagavatam says that is special mercy. When Krishna is showing special mercy, he takes everything away. The Bhagavatam says that in the 11th canto. So a devotee feels like that. If everything has been taken away, then we feel, if we're advanced, we feel that is Krishna's mercy. So he wants that reciprocation with Krishna. So Bali Maharaj, he simply understood this is Krishna's love. He's taking away the lowest thing and he's giving me the highest thing, which is himself. Any points?
Just a question. Can we ask the deities for the pleasure of our spiritual master? Something?
Well, like what?
Basically, his health or whatever.
Yeah, so Prabhupada said in the final days, 1977, when Prabhupada was leaving the world, and devotees said to Prabhupada, can we pray to Krishna to keep you? Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada said, you can pray to Krishna. Krishna, if you desire, then please let Prabhupada live. So you cannot command the deity. But you can say, if you desire, humbly, then please let my spiritual master... Yeah, so you can pray, but you have to leave it up to Krishna. Because maybe Krishna will take the devotee. Sometimes we say, oh, don't take... Maybe Krishna wants to take the devotee now. So it's up to Krishna how he wants to do it. Any other points? Okay. So which verse are we on? I am able to give you an entire island because I am the proprietor of the three divisions of the universe. You have come to take something from me and have pleased me by your sweet words. But you are asking only three paces of land, therefore you are not very intelligent.
According to Vedic understanding, the entire universe is regarded as an ocean of space. In that ocean there are innumerable planets, and each planet is called a dweep or island. When approached by Lord Vamandev, Bali Maharaj was actually in possession of all the dweepas or islands in space. Bali Maharaj was very pleased to see the features of the Vamandev and was ready to give him as much land as he could ask. But because Lord Vamandev asked only three paces of land, Bali Maharaj considered him not very intelligent.
So any points?
I can't understand it. The entire universe is regarded as an ocean of the space. So the entire universe. There are innumerable universes.
Yeah, but in this particular universe, this universe is like an ocean of space. So Vamana, he only asked three paces of land. So at this point in time, then Bali Maharaj is like somewhat covered by the Yogamaya potency. So he doesn't fully understand. So he says, why are you only taking three paces of land? I can give you so much more. So at this point in time, he doesn't really understand Vamana's position. So there's some leela taking place between the Lord and the devotee.
There's a whole to all this.
What's that?
There's a whole to all this. Yeah. There's a whole to all this. How come a devotee can think about Lord? This, so it's Yogamaya basically and the leela.
Yeah, there might be some mixing of the Yogamaya potency so that the leela can take place. Or maybe Bali Maharaj knows, but he just wants to reciprocate with the Lord. Like that, so. Doesn't clearly say anything. A small boy.
How how the universe can be three faces in the four three planets. I mean the lower, middle, and heaven and upper planets. How can they be? It's only one, you know.
O small boy, one who approaches me to beg something should not have to ask anything more, anywhere. Therefore, if you wish, you may ask from me as much land as you will suffice to maintain you according to your needs. The Personality of Godhead said, O my dear King, when the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled.
The material world is a fiduciary energy to deviate the living entities from the path of self-realization. Anyone who is in this material world is extremely anxious to get more and more things for sense gratification. Actually, however, the purpose of life is not sense gratification but self-realization. Therefore, those who are too addicted to sense gratification are advised to practice the mystic yoga system or Ashtanga yoga system consisting of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara and so on. In this way, one can control the senses. The purpose of controlling the senses is to stop one's implication in the cycle of birth and death. As stated by Rishabhadeva, Nunam Pramata Krute Vikarma Yat Indriya Pratyaya Aparnoti Na sadhu manye yada atmanoye asana api le sadha asadeha. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it's not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after the other. Thus, according to the Rishabhadeva, the human beings in this material world are just like madmen, engaged in activities which they should not perform, but which they do perform only for sense gratification. Such activities are not good because in this way one creates another body for his next life as punishment for his nefarious activities. And as soon as he gets another material body, he is put into repeated suffering in the material existence. Therefore, the Vedic culture or Brahmanical culture teaches one how to be satisfied with possessing the minimum necessities in life. To teach this highest culture, Varnasrama Dharma is recommended. The aim of the Varnasrama divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa, is to train one to control the senses and to contend with the bare necessities. Here Lord Vamanadeva, as an ideal brahmachari, refuses Bali Maharaj's offer to give him anything he might want. He says that without contentment, one could not be happy, even if he possessed the property of the entire world or the entire universe. In human society, therefore, the Brahmanical culture, Kshatriya culture and Vaishya culture must be maintained and people must be taught how to be satisfied with only what they need. In modern civilization, there is no such education. Everyone tries to possess more and more, and everyone is dissatisfied and unhappy. The Krishna Conscious Movement is therefore establishing various farms, especially in America, to show how to be happy and content with minimum necessities of life, and to save time for self-realization. It can be very easily achieved by chanting Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What are the points?
One should be happy and contented with the minimum necessities of life, and should spend on self-realization with love of God. What we do is we forget this, and we go into self-gratification very kind, and want to enjoy everything in this world, which is so temporary. And after that, it's all finished anyway. And so we just understand all the brahmachari, krishna, vanprastha, and sannyasi, all our stages of life are meant to save time and devote ourselves.
Thank you. Very long.
Oh, sorry.
Any other points?
When there is more sense gratification, your aim will be deviated. The purpose of life or the goal of life will be deviated from that path, basically. Mm-hmm. So you should follow the Varnashram Dharma to be self-contained.
Good. Any other points?
I was hearing a lecture by Srila Prabhupada in New York, 30th April 1966, just before setting of the SCON. So he was saying that what I have come here in USA to tell you, that don't shoot your body again and again. You can go to Krishna right now in this form. Very nice lecture. You might have heard. So he was giving lecture on 4.12 to 14. Yeah. So he was telling, don't change your body in this body. You get another body, you have got more suffering, more pain. So try to get the spiritual world right from the body.
Anything else? So, Prabhupada says that to overcome sense gratification, we must get control of the senses. So once again, Rupa Goswami says in Upadeshamrita, in the Nectar of Instruction, he says, spiritual life begins when you get control of the senses. The vegans. So you must become a Goswami. Goswami means one who has mastery over the senses. Not a Godasa, who is simply a servant of the senses. Everyone in the material world is a servant of the senses. So to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to become the a master of the senses. You have to have sense control. Without sense control, you can't advance in Krishna consciousness. So, Rupa Goswami said this, spiritual life begins when you have control of the senses. Without control of the senses, you don't advance. So Prabhupada is saying here that we have to overcome our desire for sense gratification. Which means we need to control our desires. Vegan means urges, means pushings. All these things need to be controlled. So Prabhupada explains this is Brahmanical culture. So that's why ISKCON is meant, as Prabhupada said, to establish a class of Brahmanas. That's why Prabhupada wanted hearing and chanting about Krishna to go on. That's why we see Prabhupada wanted systematic study of his books. So that's the purpose of this course. Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, to systematically study Prabhupada's books. Because it establishes a Brahmanical culture. We become absorbed in spiritual understanding. We become Brahminical ourselves. And then when one lives like a Brahmana, then one can control the senses. If one doesn't live like a Brahmana, then one's senses are not controlled. So in the second paragraph, Prabhupada explains that he makes a very nice comment, which is very encouraging to me. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore establishing various farms to show how to be happy and content with minimum necessities of life and to save time for self-realization. So regardless if we're living on the farm or living in the city, we should minimize our life, make it simple, so then we have time for self-realization. So the modern world is the opposite. The modern world means there's no time for self-realization, but devotees need to live their life in such a way that they have optimum time for self-realization. Any points?
Actually, the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramanand Rai, and they started off asking questions. The first thing Ramanand Rai suggested was follow the Varnashrama Dharma, which is what he started off with. We are very fortunate how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the way to the bhakti, which is basically the topmost. I mean, what at Madhurya Leela, basically, which is what he taught. I was listening to one of the lectures, and then the last question when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, it's something beyond that too as well. And that's when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said, in a Vipralamba Bhav, we can actually meditate upon Krishna, which was mind-blowing for me, at least. I mean, no, that even at that level, it's something beyond.
It's too long to. After class, he will explain it to you. We're almost. If I were not satisfied with 3 paces of land, then surely I would not be satisfied even with possessing one of the 7 islands consisting of 9 varshas. Even if I possessed 1 island, I would hope to get others. We have heard that although powerful kings like Maharaj Prithu and Maharaj Gaya achieve proprietorship over the 7 dvipas, they could not achieve satisfaction or find the end of their ambitions. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the 3 worlds. So Prabhupada points out in the purport that our happiness and distress is already predestined. So you don't have to work so hard. Don't work hard to be happy all the time, and don't work hard to get rid of your distress, because they're going to come anyway. Whatever's there, it will come. Now, that's the nature of the material world. It just gives you whatever you deserve, not what you desire. You can desire so many things, but you only get what you deserve. So, in the second paragraph, Prabhupada explains what is the secret of becoming peaceful in this material world. It is to satisfy the senses of Krishna, to give up the desire for sense gratification. So Prabhupada quotes Rishikena, Rishikesham, Sevanam Bhakti Uchite, that we have to become absorbed in spiritual service, and that takes us to the spiritual platform. Once we realize we are spiritual, all our problems are finished. Otherwise, you stay in this material world and you'll never be satisfied. In the third paragraph, Prabhupada explains that, he quotes Rishabdev, Tapo Divyam, that if we want to become spiritually advanced, we have to perform austerities for Krishna. That is what purifies us of our material contamination and desires, by serving Krishna with the right mentality. Material existence causes discontent in regard to fulfilling one's lusty desires and achieving more and more money. This is the cause for the continuation of material life, which is full of repeated birth and death. But one who is satisfied by that which is obtained by his destiny is fit for liberation from this material existence. A Brahmana who is satisfied with whatever is providentially obtained is increasingly enlightened with spiritual power. But the spiritual potency of a dissatisfied Brahmana decreases as fire diminishes in potency when water is sprinkled upon it. Therefore, O King, from you, the best of those who give charity, I ask only 3 paces of land. By such a gift I shall be very pleased, for the way of happiness is to be fully satisfied to receive that which is absolutely needed. Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead had thus spoken to Bali Maharaj, Bali smiled and told him, "All right, take whatever you like." To confirm his promise to give Vamanadeva the desired land, he took up his water pot. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So next week, there probably won't be a class on Monday because Monday is Baladev Purnima, which means Jyoman Yatra will be 7 o'clock, which means probably won't finish till
8
o'clock, so we'll see. Maybe there'll be class, but it depends on... Depends. And Tuesday there'll be class, definitely. I'll have class on Tuesday. Because the following week is Janmashtami, so there'll be no class Janmashtami week. So we'll see. Depends on Jyoman Yatra. If Jyoman Yatra is going on and on and on, then...
Janmashtami 19th will not class. 19th is Tuesday.
Tuesday's class. Yes, a puja. Yeah, so no, it's no class on. Janmashtami is on Monday, Vyasa Puja is on Tuesday, so there's no class. Those 2 days, there's no class. Next Monday, we'll see, but next Tuesday, definitely there's a class. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.